Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. Open your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 5, you may be familiar with the initials, BMI. Body Mass Index. It's this set of numbers that doctors use and medical facilities use to have an idea of how we might fit into what might be called the ideal. If you're such and such height, you need to be this weight. If you're this, you need to be that. When blood tests are done, your numbers need to be between this range. These ideal numbers. In the spiritual realm, what I want to talk about today is us obtaining the ideal. What's expected of us. The thing with our with those BMIs, the body mass index, those medical things. Well, first of all, they are subjective numbers. They change numbers. Secondly, what we might tend to do is we'll just, since the numbers change, well, this facility might say the number needs to be within this range. Well, mine doesn't match that, but this one says it needs to be within this one. I'm a whole lot closer to this one. Guess which one I'm choosing? Same one you're going to choose. I'm going to choose the one that's closest to what I am. You see, that way I don't have to change because this one says I'm pretty good. What another thing that those numbers can do for us, we can see this ideal, we can see what the index tells us we ought to be, we see what we are, and what it does is, it just discourages us. What it does is, it might make us feel self-conscious. Can we see some applications in the spiritual realm? Has God given us an ideal? When we compare ourselves to that ideal, do we match up maybe as well as we ought to, as well as we should? When we see our reality, do we get discouraged? Can any get so discouraged that they flat out quit? Is this make-believe stuff here? No, this is reality. This happens. So what I want us to look at today is talk about this idea of the spiritual ideal and our responsibility to match it and to meet it and how that can be possible. Some things we can do. Some possible responses is, first of all, there's no such thing as an ideal. We're talking about spiritual applications here. There's no standard. Just be satisfied with where you are. Can you imagine somebody 875 pounds. And they say, yeah, but that's only because I hadn't had dessert. I'll weigh more before I go to bed. No, there's no ideal. I am what I am. And what I am is okay. Now bring that into the spiritual realm. There's no ideal. There's no such thing as truth. You are what you are. Be satisfied with where you are. This doesn't lessen the standard. This ignores the standard. So let's just pause for a moment. And let's look at what Scripture clearly tells us. Look in Matthew chapter 5, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 48, Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye perfect. Newer translations say, you shall be perfect. Matthew 5, 48. I don't know where I told you to go. A lot of changes on the pages. I must have messed up, so let's just hang on. Matthew 5 is where we need to be. Verse 48. You shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Whatever we want to do with the ideal, do not think that it doesn't exist. Do not think that there is not a standard that has been put out there, and the standard is perfect. You know, we don't have a problem with that in physical realms. Living in the South, college football and all that kind of stuff, football fans everywhere, sports fans of whatever. Could you imagine your team gets a new coach and at the opening press conference, he says, you know, I really think if we work hard, we can win half our games. Now, unless there's some closeted Vanderbilt fan here I don't know about, you're not going to be okay with that. You're not going to be satisfied with that. You see, we don't have a problem with a high standard when it comes to ball. Could you imagine you've got a leaky faucet somewhere and a plumber comes out and he says, you know, I really do think I can fix about half this leak. I can fix most of your problem. Well, you're going to get back. You're going to start hunting in the yellow pages again. Because half and some of the problem is not what you're looking to be fixed. You see, we don't have a problem with a high standard of sports. We don't have a problem with a high standard for work around the house. We want it done completely. We want it done right. But when it comes to spiritual things, we don't like this high standard. Whatever we want to do with verse 48, don't try to water it down. The call is perfection. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. We studied this not too awful long ago on our Wednesday nights, a couple quarters ago. 1 Peter chapter 1. You will be perfect as God is perfect. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, same concept, different word. It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What is the call for us? What is the standard that has been set for us? Verse Matthew chapter 5, perfection. As perfect as who? As perfect as God. 1 Peter chapter 1, what is the standard that's been set before us? Holiness. Okay, we're good with holiness. How holy are we talking about? As holy as God. Whatever we want to do with verse 16, don't try to water that down. We have been called to an incredibly high standard. Look over into chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Hereunto have you been called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we follow in His steps. Got to be perfect. As perfect as who? Be ye perfect as God is perfect. We got to be holy. How holy? You shall be holy as I am holy. We have to follow Jesus' example. What kind of example was that? An example of perfection. The greatest who ever lived has become our standard. So we're talking about body mass indexes and BMIs and all that kind of thing. And we just kind of search around and we pick the one that best fits us. And if we don't like what the ideal's telling us, we just don't worry about it. In the spiritual realm, we can't bring that in here with us. We can't bring that attitude in with us. We're called to be like Him. There is a standard. And there is an ideal. Well, I would think that most of us, soft-hearted people, I would think we look at Matthew 5 and we look at 1 Peter 1 and we're not going to argue with it. Where's it? That's exactly right. Maybe our problem is not that we don't recognize the standard. Maybe our problem is we're not doing a whole lot to get to the standard. We will give lip service, perfection, holiness. Jesus is our example. We walk in His steps. We can talk a good game. You are right. But then never get around to doing it. Can we take it back to the physical just a moment? Could you imagine somebody, and we don't have to imagine it, we probably have done it to some form or fashion. Could you imagine, say, you know, you're right. I do need to go on a diet. You know, you're right. I do need to lose some weight. You know, you're right. I do need to work on my cholesterol. I do need to work on my blood sugar instead of having chocolate cake flowing through me like it's an IV. I do need to do these things. You're right. But the problem is, we never get around to doing it. We will acknowledge that we're not the ideal. We'll acknowledge that we're not up to the standard, but do nothing about it. I am what I am. I have a short temper. You know, my granddaddy had a short temper. And my aunt, it just kind of runs in our family. And I'm going to let grace cover that. I'm being facetious and you know that. But is any of this hit close to home? I know I need to fix this. I know I have to be better at this. I know I have to work on this. I know. We don't ever get around to actually doing it. We'll admit there's a standard. We'll acknowledge an ideal. We just don't do a whole lot with it.
See, many start out at the bottom and kind of stay there. Can you think of the one talent man? In that parable, he was at the bottom as far as numbers go. There were five and there was two and there was one. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he seemed to be content to stay there. Happy where he was. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. This is a familiar text. We're very, very familiar with the text. And usually when it's read, we're making the application about, you know, pressing on. And, you know, don't look back. Don't let weaknesses of the past, don't let mistakes of the past hold us back from doing what we ought to be and becoming who we are to become. And don't let us lose our prize because of those things. Press on. We typically do that. And that, those are points to be made. But in the bigger picture, in the bigger context of it, make note of what it's talking about. Look in verse 12. Let's start there. It's not as though I have already attained and is already perfect. What's Paul acknowledging? There is a standard. There is an ideal to be met. And the one writing you this letter, I'm not claiming to have been there. I'm not telling you that I'm there yet. I haven't obtained it yet. But I press on, that I may lay hold on that for which I have been apprehended of Jesus Christ. I'm not there, but I'm working to it. Verse 13, how are you going to work to something like that? Behold, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there. But this one thing I do. One thing. Do you have the idea what he's saying is, I'm not there, I haven't apprehended, but I am single-minded. That's the idea of one thing. That's the idea of, I'm not scatterbrained about this. I don't have too many irons in the fire concerning this. I'm not there yet, but I'm focused on it. I am single-minded about it. I have this one thing, and it is driving me. I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind, reaching for those things that are before, I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Verse 12, I hadn't attained it. Verse 13, I haven't apprehended it. Verse 13, but I am focused on it. It's one thing, and I am single-minded on this. Verse 14, I am pressing toward it. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, as many as are mature, be thus minded. Be what minded? Single-minded, focused, centered. All the things that he was referring back into 13. How many of us can echo these statements? Verse 12, I hadn't attained it. Verse 13, I haven't apprehended it. But what he's calling us to be in verse 15 is, be thus minded. We're not there yet, but we're minded to be there. We're struggling with some things, but we are focused. We are single-minded on obtaining and working toward that goal, working toward that prize. Some say there is no ideal. I doubt there's any here who would be a part of that crowd. I would be just as shocked if there were nobody here that's not involved in number two. I'm guessing all of us have played that game before. I'm guessing there's a point in all of our lives we can be guilty of that. We have been guilty of that. The question is, are we still? None of us in this room, I'm completely assured of that. None of us in this room are going to say there's no ideal. No, we know exactly what the ideal is. We know who the standard bearer is. We know who we're supposed to be imitating. Sometimes we don't put up a good fight. So where are we? What does that lead to? What's the problem, the potential problem with this? We just quit. We look, and we kind of referenced this a little bit earlier. You see the ideal in Matthew chapter 5, and that just kind of takes our breath away. We see the standard in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we just take a deep breath and say, whoa, I don't know. How am I going to get there? How am I going to do that? And we see the difficulty of it, and we just give up. We see the standard as unattainable. And we're going to go a whole lot deeper in this into our next hour, our next lesson. But we're just trying to lay the groundwork for some of that later on. We see it as unattainable, and we don't think we can get there. And so we kind of drift along with the status quo. These are not denominational problems. These are things that Christians can deal with and struggle with. And I would guess me in this room can probably put names to this stuff. We might know people in all three of these categories. This is not make-believe. Turn to James chapter 1. Obviously, none of these are the response we need to be making. To say there's no such thing as ideal is to absolutely ignore clear teaching. The problem with Matthew 5 and 1 Peter 1 is in the applying it, not in the understanding it. A second grader can understand it. It's applying it and living it. That's the problem. So that's not to say there's no standard is ridiculous. To acknowledge the standard and then ignore the things that's preventing us from being there and not even be focused on it, well, that's as illogical. And surely, we're not just going to drop the ball and go home. So none of these are the answers. Whatever our struggles are, eternity is worth it. So what is it that we can do? What can encourage us along these things? In James chapter 1, another very familiar text. Start with me in verse 23. And we'll kind of just pull a couple phrases out here and there. If any is a hearer of the word and not a doer. So that, first of all, that takes us back into application number two, right? We acknowledge the standard, but we're not doing a whole lot to get there. We acknowledge the ideal, but we're not all that concerned about not being there, not focused on it, not single-minded on it. We're being described to. This is us. If anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself, he goes his way, and he forgets what manner of man that he was. You know, you look at that, and it's almost a silly example, isn't it? It's kind of a ludicrous thing that somebody looks in the mirror, and they've got this big black mark somewhere. Imagine some of the ladies putting on the eyeshadow, and your makeup mess up, and you have a big streak. Or imagine we got something on our face. Well, why would we not deal with that? Or are we not concerned about that? Did you catch the word? Does it say there was no concern? What it says was we looked, we saw, we acknowledged, and we forgot. So let's go back to the mirror. We're doing whatever it is we're doing. The mascara gets run, the toothpaste dribbles down our cheek, and then all of a sudden the baby starts crying. And we go run off, and we tend to the baby, and then we never get a chance to go back to the mirror because now we're cramped. Now our time is at the max, and so we just go off, and then 30 minutes later, somebody asks us about it. Oh man, yeah, I got a streak on my head. Or we look in the mirror, we acknowledge, we see, and then the phone rings. So off we go get the phone, and now we're talking away. And it's not that the thing on our face didn't bother us. We forgot because we got busy. We're taking care of all these other things, and we forgot it was there, and we didn't fix it. Now, can we make an application of that? We see the standard. We see the ideal. We recognize I'm not matching it. But you got to be here from 8 to 5. And at 5:30, this has to be done. And we got all these family responsibilities, and we have some work responsibilities, and we have some whatever, and we just forget. It's not that these things aren't important to us. James is not talking about ignoring. He's talking about forgetting. Look into verse 25. But whoever looks into the perfect, the complete law of liberty and continues in it, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this man is blessed in his deeds. Verse 25 is the key. It's not about just reading, it's about doing. And sometimes the doing comes down to we're just forgetful. We're just not, again, to go back to Philippians 3, we forget the things we're not focused on. We forget the things that we're not single-minded upon. We forget the things that we're not pressing toward. And this leads to all kinds of these issues that we're talking about. So what if verse 25 becomes the motto? I will not be a hearer, I will be a doer. I will not be a forgetter, I will be a single-minded, pressing on, focused on the standard. Well, what happens is we look into that perfect law, we see the ideal, we see the standard, we see our reality, and then we become doers. And we patiently struggle, and we slowly grow, and the gap begins to narrow. Where our reality and the ideal begins to get closer. We become more and more like that standard of perfection. More and more in that standard of holiness. More and more like Christ, whom we are to imitate. Obtaining this, it's not a finger snap. This is a process. But wouldn't it be nice if we could all say, like Paul, paraphrasing it, I haven't obtained, I have not yet apprehended. Remember how Paul phrased it? How nice would it be for all of us to say, I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm closer than I used to be. See, the standard, unlike those BMIs that one hospital may have this one and this clinic may have another one, those standards are a little subjective. You can find some specific numbers on some of those things that are a little bit different depending on where you search. God's standard, remember, verse 25, the perfect law of liberty, the complete law. There's no change in this. The standard has been set, and it's ever before us. And now we're working to become more and more as we ought to be. Let's not try to water down the ideal. Let's not ignore or forget what we are to be. But like Paul, we're to be pressing on toward that. In Ephesians chapter 6, I've got that reference. We won't turn there. We studied that. Time's got away, but just a few months ago, we studied that. I'm just going to remind you, remember Ephesians 6, it's a spiritual war. Our war is not flesh and blood. Our war is a spiritual war against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Spiritual battle. And therefore we arm ourselves. Could you imagine how, I don't know what the word would be, ridiculous, shocking, strange. Could you imagine that me and you today, sometime later in the afternoon, we go to some tennis court and we see a guy out on the tennis court in full armor. What's he doing? You see, we don't put on full armor to go play tennis. We put on that armor to fight. And the point is that's to be made is we are armored up all the time. We're in a struggle because the standard is perfection. We're in a daily struggle because the standard is holiness, as God is holiness. Christ, the example that we follow. And we're to be armored continually for that. Get your songbooks out. Are you perfect? You may think to yourself the initial thing to that. No, I'm not perfect because I have sin. But did you hear Larry's prayer? He prayed that the blood of Christ could cleanse us. Do you know what you are in God's eyes? Every time the blood of Christ cleanses us, you are perfect because there is nothing to your account. There is nothing against you. You can be perfect and it can happen right now. You can be holy and it can happen right now because the blood of Christ can make you such. If you're not a Christian, you come into contact with that blood through death,
That's how Christ shed his blood, and that's how you come into contact with that blood. If you'll be baptized by faith, confessing him as your Lord, your Master, you'll rise up in newness of life. You'll rise up white. You'll rise up perfect. Those of us that are Christians, you don't have to be rebaptized for that. Thanks be to God. He hears prayers and he accepts repenters. We can be perfect. And if there's anything keeping us from that, take care of it while you stand and sing.